Shop of Maniacs. You're listening to another episode of the Shop Talk Show. I'm Dave in the shed, no homeschool around me. Rupert with me is Chris in the booth choir. Hey, Chris, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good. We have a little news to talk about, and then we'll get to some questions, huh? Because we got a couple of good ones in here, including some interesting stuff that's come up in our Discord, which you can join.
Discord. That's going to be the sound effect every time we mention the Discord.
Nice. I love it. I really wish it had threads like Slack, but other than that, it's 100% better than Slack.
Yes and no. Like, okay. Threading on Discord is not great. No. I agree. Threading on Slack is also terrible. I guess it works, but like, if there's a critical piece of information in the thread, you just can't find it. I see what you mean.
I also find a lot of, like, if I reply to a thread, the chances of somebody seeing the reply are a lot lower.
I feel like it's like, should be for tangential information that should not matter. Like, there needs to be a big culture around threads, you know? Cause like, otherwise, like, I'm finding myself in three or four different threads across four different channels in the same company, and my company is only like three people or whatever. Mm. So it's just, you know, like, the threading just gets me, man.
There's some channels that I'm in where it feels like necessary. Like, I have a shared Slack. What do they call it now? Slack Connect or something?
Slack Connect, man. With, I got half dozen staring at it right now.
I bet the freelance, you know, the agency market is heavy on that. And it's cool that, remember in the olden days, we had to sign in. We had to, like, basically create a new entire Slack to share it. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, worth it sometimes. At least we don't have to do that now, is like the, I don't know, you know what I mean. But anyway, so the one where it's clutch for me is, like, I have a CSS trick Slack for the team, but I need to talk to Buy Sell Ads, the company, about sponsorship stuff, because it's like half my freaking job, it feels like sometimes. We'll post something that's like, what about this sponsored thing happening on this date? Then the thread is all about that. Like, there's no other. And then if you're going to post something new in the channel, it's about, how about this sponsored thing on this date for this property? And then the thread is all about, because otherwise, then it's like the information about that thing is all in that thread. And I like it. It works.
I feel like threads work better when somebody says, I'm starting a thread. Like, or they do the thread emoji or something, you know, just to say like, hey, this one's going to go deep on one topic, you know? Like,
yeah.
Like, that's right. Like, in little ad hoc, like, replies and stuff, you know, are cool too. Like, I'm in some cool ones, you know, just like here and there, but like, man, threading's a tough issue.
It is, but who does it even worse?
Wow. Teams.
I don't even want to know.
Teams is like email, dude. It's like every, it's not just one river of content. It's like blocks of content. So when you like jump in there and type a message, you're actually like kind of starting a whole new thread or a whole new, like, basically message block, email reply thread. Anyway, it works for like big companies. That's like,
yeah,
who are used to email. Target. I think it's right. Good for them, but for Dave Rupert, it's like, oh my gosh, it's like an inbox that's just like laid out like a blog.
So we have one shared, I think we're down to one shared Slack now, and it's just like, whatever, it's like a friend's thing. So sorry, don't be jealous, but we have that. And it's one channel only. So their threads in there are used because there's no channels. And I started it, so I decided that's just how it's going to be. I'm not like the world's biggest fan of like a million channel thing. And I don't hear people complaining about it too much. I mean, maybe they don't like it, but then in that way, a thread is kind of like a channel. It's like, I'm going to start talking about subject and have that happen. So in our Discord now we do channels, but like that many. And I guess my personal opinion is, and I'm happy to be overruled by this, but we're at like max channels already for me
in Discord.
Like, yeah, because right now I'm clicking through like, oh, somebody shared that thing. Which, what is it in? Is it in the hot drama channel or the show and tell channel? Or is it just in general? Or is it in, you know, I'm like, I can't.
Yeah, our topics are bleeding really bad. So we may need to reboot.
They're all great, though. I like them all.
Yeah. No. I think we do have a few too many. But anyway, well, or like we just need to like, again, like hard scope the topics, you know, or, and I think a lot of people too, like, very functional communities like are like, hey, take this to blah, blah, blah. Like I'm in a friend Slack, another one that for my D&D stuff. And like, if somebody starts talking about kids in the programming, people are like, take it to kids or whatever. Like, you know, or if somebody starts
straight up, oh, I just can't, I don't have that in me to be that guy. Cause I'm like, whatever, we're just talking. It's just a computer. Get over it.
Yeah, yeah, but it's like, or if like somebody in programming starts talking about keyboards too much, they're like, take it to keyboards. So let's, yeah. Anyway, it's, I get it. Like you just,
I get it too.
You get niche things. Like,
you're not going to get a hand slap from me, but
like, I think our things is all, you know, technology, right? There's like always drama. It's always kind of a general, it's always kind of, I want help, you know? So like, yeah. I think there's like,
do we have a help? Oh, we do. That's
good. We do have a help desk in there. So if you're wanting to subscribe to the Shop Talk Patreon, you can join the help desk. But it's more like, you know, hey, I'm working on this weird thing. Anyone know anything, you know, or whatever,
which right.
is kind of cool to do.
That's good. Like 40% of my public chats, I think, because yeah. it's good conversation. Then it's like, this is on my mind and I want to know what you know.
I had this situation today and I asked, and it was, you know, like when you have like the blog post and the continue reading button, I think our blog or our site has it for the yeah. transcripts. Right?
I've never built a site that doesn't have that.
Right. The continue reading button. And then you blip it and then boom, all the rest of the content. Comes
oh,
down,
I see.
Right?
Like a single page. You don't change URLs. You stay on the same URL.
Yeah. Yeah. The yeah. chop, I think, is the what Jamal calls it. Yeah. And I love the chop. So anyway, the chop, right? And I was like, you know, what's the expectation from a screen reader perspective? Are you supposed to like move the focus? Because I tried it out in VoiceOver. You know, every screen reader is different. But I clicked the button and VoiceOver like skipped a paragraph. It went to like the bottom of where the previous focus was, if that makes sense. So like,
did it just like heuristically guess?
I think it heuristically jumped a paragraph because it was like, okay, I'm at the bottom of this button. I'm going to read the next pixel Damn. Below this.
And like so when see that code.
When I chopped in some content, the one paragraph kind of took the place of the button or whatever. So anyway, I just was like, you know, am I supposed to move the focus? What am I supposed to do? That's always my thing. Like with accessibility, am I supposed to move something? And Eric Bailey chimed in, was like, yeah, you like, ideally, if you could move the focus, that's cool. You don't have to, but ideally you could, but you know, but I just noticed,
aren't you scared? I'm like dead scared of moving focus. Like, but
I, well, in a reactive context too, like, you know, inside my view component, do I have the next element, you know, like,
don't you, if it's like a jQuery P, don't closest? You have to put, yeah. Don't you have to put like a tab index 0 on it or something anyway?
Yeah. Tab index -1 to like negative let it one. Get focus, you know? And so like, then you're just like, anyway, this is
and
all.
And then do you remove that once they've left it? Cause like it normally doesn't have focus
yeah,
ability.
Yeah. It should just be a thing. Right. And so that's my thing. I'm just like, maybe you could do an anchor, like a named anchor or something. And just kind of like, you know, like resume reading from here or something.
Yeah. You know what I always think of? This is like not, I like, this is awesome too. The chop is, I'd be interested to see if you pull it off. Actually, you should make a pen probably.
I should. Yeah. Maybe I'll make a pen because it's mostly just like a, like, what's the expectation here? Like what am I supposed to do?
Maybe you should do like gold, silver, bronze.
yeah like what's the level of effort, you know,
because it sounded like Eric said that it's not required, you don't have to do this, it's just like if you do you get a gold prize, you know.
I think so, you know, and this is all, you know, you could also argue like you hid the content, it's not that important or whatever. Like if it was really important it would be visible, right? But the equal access requirement of accessibility means like if you give it to one person you should give it to everybody, you know, so that's
okay. That makes sense.
Anyway,
this is a sponsor, but this isn't a sponsored spot, right? We've been working with Axe. In fact, you just spoke at the Axe conference, right?
Yeah, AxeCon. It was cool. Lots of people spoke. I mean, four tracks, there's a developer track.
Oh man,
like
It was free, wasn't it? So there must have been a zillion people.
$3. And like, yeah, you know, obviously they're promoting their acts like dev tools and stuff like that. But like TLDR, like those are great. Like you did a video on CodePen.
Well, it took me a minute to even understand CSS it. Tricks. Cause yeah, there's, well, I understand it, but like understand how they're like making enough money to like pay for tracks of speakers to speak at a conference, right? There's like, Axe DevTools is free. You just install it and you open it and you scan my page. It tells you crap that's wrong and you fix it, right? Like that's super useful. That's not the only thing they make, because that even that thing is based on some like, you know, code that looks at HTML and finds problems and CSS too, presumably, maybe even JavaScript. I don't know. You know, so like they have a bunch of technology that they own. So here's what I think they have some percentage, like 50%+ of all accessibility problems get fixed, you know, by getting yourself axe clean, as they say. Again, not a sponsored spot right now. Anyway, what it can't test is like a modal. It can't be like, oh, I see this button probably opens a modal. I'll open it and then do all the modal tests and then close it and then report it back to you. That can't be done. That like it needs more information to do that. So their pro thing that you pay for, which they earn money as a company to have, are these intelligent guided tests. And they're super good. So the modal test is like, oh, there's a modal on this page? Great. Let me walk it through like a wizard, you know. Does it have a button to open it? Yes. Where is it? Point to it for me, please. Okay, I'm going to try to click it now. Did it open? Yes. You know, okay, where's the modal? I'm going to try to find it. Oh, I couldn't find it. Could you help me find it? Here, point to it. Oh, here it is. All right, let me run a focus trap test. Meh, you suck at focus traps. That's a problem. Okay, yeah. I'll log that as an error. Now, does it close? Does it close with the escape key? Because it needs to. Oh, it doesn't? That's a problem. Oh, it does. Good for you. You know, like these kind of things. And then, this is why I'm talking about this. One of the things that it needs to do to be accessible is return the focus after it closed to what opened it. Mm-hmm. That was a bug I found on CodePen. We aren't doing that. We like do it's a number
hard.
Of things.
It's yeah. hard. Yeah. Like, cause and again, in that reactive context too, you have to like store the like previous state or what, like whatever the active element was, you know, like, and then you have to set active element to that act, the previously active element, you know?
Right. Which is, you know, it's not impossible, but there's edge cases. It's tricky. It's some technical debt that you have to solve. You should probably write integration tests for it because you're gonna break it at that. Some point for sure.
What's encouraging is Glenda Sims Goodwitch on the Twitter. She did a talk. She kind of gave like State of the Union, or like DQ kind of like has compiled some data. She did it with somebody from DQ, but DQ has compiled data from all their sources, and they think automated tests will catch like 56% of all errors on your website, which is awesome because I thought it was more like 20, you know? So like just running Axe, like the native automated thing, 56%. If you do those guided tests, you're catching like 70, 80%.
Yeah.
80% of your like accessibility problems are caught through like.
Right. And you know who can do those tests? Interns. Anybody. Because they're not like specific knowledge thing. Anyway, that sounded like a sponsor spot, but it wasn't. But anyway, pretty cool.
So. Yeah, I just it's cool. It was really like a just eye opening thing, and I think like anyway, it's getting better. We can do better. Let's go 56% better just by running Lighthouse. Go for it.
This episode of Shop Talk Show is brought to you in part by the makers of Axe DevTools. Literally, it's like a DevTools plugin you add to your browser. So then when you open the native DevTools, there's like an Axe tab there and you can run tests. It's really good. I just did a video with Preeti from there on CSS Tricks. So go watch that if you haven't, because we really dig into all the possibilities there. Pretty amazing. They just launched Axe DevTools Pro. You can try it for free for 14 days. Otherwise, try it 20% off with promo code ShopTalk. What it unlocks for you is it makes that plugin way better. It has these things in it called intelligent guided tests, which you have to see. They're amazing accessibility things that you can test, but it has to walk you through some stuff because it has to ask you some questions and gain some insight to what's happening on your page, which is stuff that like a purely automated test isn't going to catch, but is super vital for the accessibility of a website. So you probably didn't set out to build an app that was purposely inaccessible. Like none of us do that. We're like, I'm going to make a crappy inaccessible site, but you probably did, you know, like I run it on my site and I'm like, whoa, there's some problems here. Oops, I guess I better fix those. You didn't set out for problems, but you still need to fix them. So the Axe DevTools Pro browser extension helps you find them, and you don't have to be an expert at all about accessibility. It's that helpful. So start catching and squashing these accessibility issues as you code. Friends, don't let friends ship inaccessible code. Follow the link in the show notes or just go find Axe DevTools Pro and use the code ShopTalk to get it. All these things are going through my head are related. So here's a plot twist. This week, everybody's talking about this because Josh Comau, forget him. You know him, Josh W. something. He's got this wonderful blog. Every blog
he's
post
got this
is
blog
like
with a cute little dude.
Yeah, all the blog posts are like have interactive demos in it and stuff, which I attribute, by the way, to him writing in MDX, which
really okay.
I do. I think he's said as much too. But you know, React components are you can just build them one off. I mean, I know you can do this with Vue too. Vue probably has some kind of version of this. But you have a lot of power in there. It gives you this nice little like isolated place to build a little interactive thing, and then MDX is like a writing format that's like basically I'm just writing Markdown, but if I want to slip in a React component, I just do it. I just angle bracket it up and slip it in there. So I can imagine a writing format, you know, he's like, oh, this is a blog post. Ah, this little area could really use a nice interactive example, you know, where you or I might slip in a code pen. He can kind of slip in a custom React component and have it look like really seamless and cool. So I guess you could do that with a code pen too, if you just custom CSS and remove all the stuff. But I think that's the thing. And I think his core, you know, he's got just a ton of engagement on that blog post. So he's like, you know what? I'm going to turn this into a course. I don't know what his internal dialogue is. I'm just faking this. But he's like, I'm going to turn this, my writings and teachings about CSS. Because, by the way, if you're reading one of his posts and he's like, oh, then do this in the HTML, it's always in React. He never, like, teaches you a CSS concept, like, outside of the scope of React. He does sometimes, but I've mentioned that before, that he's just like, well, like, why is this, you're teaching this CSS thing, why is there React involved at all? It, like, seems irrelevant. But that, I think that was smart of him, because that speaks to this, like, new generation of, like, all React devs that are like, oh, yes, this relates to my everyday work or whatever, because there are a ton of active React developers. And I think he just speaks to that generation, like, better than I do. Anyway.
That's my fault. I'm bringing you down. It's me, dude. I know.
Dinosaur bullshit.
Yeah,
see, he launches a course and makes $500,000 in a day or whatever. He launches the thing with a limited time only thing. He's up way over $500,000. Okay, so everybody's looking at this like, what am I doing with my life? I want to be like Josh. Josh is printing money with this thing. He's going to make more money than I will in half a decade in a week. Okay, not fair. He's been working on this a long time. He's got a great voice. Not everybody can be rich. Just whatever. There's a million ways to rationalize this to yourself. But then you combo that with like, oh my God, I'm speaking at a conference and this conference is taking up 80 to 100 hours I've got logged into this talk. And when I'm done with it, I'm gonna bill this conference for what? A grand? I'd like to bill him for 500 grand. But I can't. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, am I making the right life choices? Why don't I sink those 100 hours into building a course like Josh did? And maybe I'll make $500,000. So I think that kind of stuff is going through people's heads, like the cost benefit analysis of where I spend my time maybe should be repointed at the $500,000 target.
Yeah, no. Well, it definitely gives like a new goalpost, I guess, you know. But yeah, I'm with you. I'm not like, you know, I'm putting together a talk right now. It's for an event apart. I love event apart. It's a topic I'm actually working on. It's about web components. Like I'm in OpenUI. I'm in the web components community group. This is something I'm working on. Like this is like my 2021 plan. However, all my client work decided to happen like during the deadline that the talk was due, you know? And so I'm just like, ah, like this is killing me because I have client work as well. That's what pays me the money, you know?
Right.
And so like,
and has for a long time and yeah. will for as long as you want it to. So that's another thing to factor in here is you don't get to strike gold with the course just because you want to.
Yeah. 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 So your money horse is what I like to call it. Your money horse might be something totally different. It's probably not a course, you know, statistically speaking. But I don't know. I've thought about doing courses. I've thought about like, oh, maybe I could do like my Alley nutrition cards as like a course or something like that, like for building mm-hmm. accessible components. You know, I've thought about stuff like that. I want to like write a book on prototypes and I have it mostly written, but I just need to finish it. Right. And so like that's stuff I want to do. However, like I just don't prioritize the time. And, you know, maybe that's cause I'm, you know, like doing conference talks and that's like, you know, like you're saying like 100 hours worth of work suddenly, you know, that I have to kind of pull out of thin air. And so, yeah, it definitely has me like thinking, is there something like what are you applying your hand to and is it worth it? You know? So it's just kind of, I don't know. But you know, that's just like my company. I'm applying my hand to that, but you know, maybe I need to scale back some of this community group stuff because as much as I like it and want it to happen, it's also extra work that I don't get paid for. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So
just to chase down this money thing a little bit and to add some continuity to previous episodes, I told mm-hmm. you I was like, I'd say got roped in, but I offered my services. I didn't get roped in. I caused this to do some work for an acquaintance, some WordPress stuff. Cause I like, oh, this is a WordPress site. I could probably help modernize this. You know, turns out it hasn't been touched in what, you know, half a decade it feels like.
Yeah.
And I go in there and I have a little fun up front, like scrubbing it up and killing old plugins and fixing up the terrible theme and whatever. And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, hands wiped that. I was uniquely qualified to do that work. So fun. But I think, you know, but then as all projects do, right, it goes on and on and you're like, it goes on a roller coaster of like, why did I agree to this again? You know, this is ridiculous. And then I think of how it relates to all these like levels of money that you can charge for things. So let me pause that for a minute and say that there was some recent news. I don't have all the details on this. It was Automattic, you know, longtime sponsor, love WordPress and Automattic product. They're always like, you know, being entrepreneurial and figuring out ways to make money. They started offering this, like, we'll build a custom site for you. And they threw out a number that we're going to build $5,000 websites. That's like the thing we're doing. And there was all kinds of news around that on like, oh, you're just going to decimate this, you know, this already kind of decimated market of freelancers in this target zone kind of thing. Because, you know, why would they pick, you know, random Mick company over the mothership? You know, you're going to take all this market stuff. I don't have any comments on that. I don't know if that's true or not or what. Everybody's got their opinion on that. But to me, I was looking at this work I was doing on this WordPress and say, is this a $5,000 job? And to me, I was like, yeah, you're goddamn right it is. There's mm-hmm. no way in like random freelance town I would even touch this for less than that. Like I hate to like just to whatever, put my dick money hat on for a minute. I'm super experienced web dude. I've been at this a long time. I know lots of stuff about building websites. I'm very senior. I have lots of entrepreneurial experience in making websites happen. I'm at the top of my field as I'll ever be. I don't really work on $5,000 websites. It's not that it's beneath me, like whatever, like as a human being. It's just beneath where I am at in my career. And yet, this website, if I were to tell the person I'm doing this website for that I was going to charge them $5,000 to do it, they'd laugh. They don't have $5,000 to work on their website. Are you freaking kidding me?
And that's like not even a new one. That's like fix up the old one.
Fix up the old. Imagine. So imagine the scales here. They're in the like tens of dollars of budget. Then there's this like, what happened to the hundreds of dollars website? I don't think those exist anymore. Then there's the like
Squarespace.
Yeah, sure. And honestly, they probably should be looking at that. But whatever, I'm not sure that's entirely true, because at least I got to do something like totally unique for them. So the final product like will look unique anyway. Then there's the $5,000 market, $10,000, $100,000, millions of dollar website. There's all these tiers of work. And it's funny how us in the web industry intersect at lots of them. It's not like every second of my day is billed at $450 an hour or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Some of it is billed at $0 an hour. Some of it is billed at $10 an hour.
Hello, podcasting.
Yeah.
but it's I remember like I went to a WordCamp once in Austin, and you know, this guy got up and talked, and he was like, here's my whole business, right? You pay me $5,000. You deliver me a design, I'll have you a WordPress in a week. And I just was like, whoa, like that. Wow. You're making 20 grand a month just doing WordPresses. Like, you know, and like probably got like the Genesis theme all tuned up, just friggin' pew,
you
pew,
think you
pew,
could
you know,
knock like, out four of them a month?
I think I would get exhausted, but I think he could. And I was just like, that's like a good model, because I like the clear exchange of like, you pay me this much money and you'll get this out of it. You know, like,
sure.
Like I do one thing and it's make WordPresses, you know, it's like I'm handing it over to a specialist, you know. That said, like not every project is as simple, and I'm sure I don't know that that person is doing it anymore. So anyway, I was impressed, because I just thought like, that's like a cool way to price, is you're just like, here's what you give us a design and it's done in a week. You know, like I just,
yep.
Anyway.
Or I'll do the design for a markup, and it's actually probably even easier for me to do, because I've already used that design a bunch of times or something.
And I already have a theme. I already have, you know, yeah. Like
highly tempting, really, especially if you can, because then if you're billing, you know, if you stay real busy and get some upsells here and there, your you know, your annual income is in the 200s probably, mm-hmm. which is doable. Where I'm at in life, when I feel all existential and stuff, I'm like, that's where I'd need to be should the rest of my life implode and I need to find a new career or something. I can't just flip burgers or whatever and just, I can't, you know, I mean, I can, but that would, then the life has to change very dramatically. You know, if I want to like keep my normal life, I have to do something like that.
Yeah, no, there's like, and that's all like comfort or like whatever, you know, everyone makes a little bit of a gamble on like a mortgage or something like, hey, am I, but I don't know. Then again, sometimes I'm like totally inspired by the people who just kind of like, you know, I'll just live on 20K a year here. And, you know, this is all US bucks. So like, if you're in a different place, I know these sound like astronomical numbers, but like, you know, like there's, you know, a lot of people kind of figured out how to live on the minimum amount of money they need, you know, and then they just take the time off that they just say like, I don't have to work. I have everything I need. And that's really impressive. That's not how my brain works, but that's really impressive.
No, it's fun to fantasize about, right? The cabin in the woods thing or the vagabond thing. I was watching last night the Frances McDormand's new movie, The Nomad Land or whatever, which is not, it's not uplifting, but there is moments of it where you're like, I don't hate this, you know? Like, I live in a van, I work at Amazon, and they fire me after the Christmas season is over, and then I have to scramble for other work, but at least it's like normal and honest, and like the weird stressors of my current life aren't there. Those get to go away and they're replaced by flat tires and stuff.
Yeah. That's the problems become different, right? So no.
This episode of Shop Talk Show is brought to you by WooCommerce. You know WooCommerce. It's a plugin for your self-hosted WordPress site to bring it all the e-commerce ability you could ever need. It's a tremendously powerful, but really well done, I find easy to use plugin to do e-commerce on your site. So I think of it as this plugin, and it is. It's a plugin. It's open source. It's free. And then there's a bunch of plugins for it to extend its ability and do a bunch of other stuff. I just think it's such a WordPress-y plugin. And of course it is. It comes from Automattic, makers of WordPress.com and all that. The e-commerce on WooCommerce.com is powered by WooCommerce too. All that, of course. But did you know that it's not just plugins? They have a theme too. They call it WooCommerce Storefront. And it's made by the WooCommerce people. It's a theme for your WordPress site that if you pick it, it's like WooCommerce is like probably going to work on your theme. In fact, I've only ever used it on themes I've hand built without really 100% considering WooCommerce up front. And then I slap WooCommerce on and it's usually mostly fine. But where there's our little problems here and there, it's like styling stuff where I'm like, oh, the checkout table looks weird. And it looks weird because it's my fault it looks weird because I like have some weird strong table styles that just are making it weird instead of just like letting the WordPress and WooCommerce styles kind of do its thing there. Those are kind of problems that I can fix, right? But like I think would be obnoxious for some people or like they don't know how to fix it because it's like a weird CSS specificity thing or something. Anyway, that's in the weeds. The point is that the WooCommerce storefront theme is, you know, built and maintained by WooCommerce Core. It's designed for WooCommerce. So the integration between all of WooCommerce, all of WooCommerce extensions, and the theme WooCommerce storefront is what they call watertight. And I love that. I would be very, very, very tempted if I was going to make a primary store to use Storefront because then it's just going to work. And it's a theme, but then they have a whole bunch of child themes for it. So you still get the ability to like pick the aesthetics of what kind of theme you want to go with, but know that you're still using Storefront. Very compelling to me. Thanks for the support. Well, here's a related question that keeps us going here as with the trajectory. And this is from Tyler Williams from the Discord. Who's just, and this can be a kind of a perennial topic. Nailed it. Who was just curious about, you know, the differences between me and you and our kind of day to day as we're both business owners, you know, like you own Paravel some part of it and I own CodePen some part of it. And so just is wondering what that's like, you know, I feel like he's asking like, because I don't think we can answer this in like 5 minutes, but, I feel like through this show, people get little bits and pieces of what it's like, but not maybe a true like picture of what that like world means to what is it like to be a business owner like we are.
Yeah, I don't, your experience is maybe different. It is crushing grief for me. So it comes with so much accounting. I don't think like. That is like what you want to hear, but like, you know, like you pitch a job, you know, you're like, I don't know. Like, we're just guessing how long this is going to take because everything's guessing. Maybe we have some experience, but like we can like ballpark it. Like, you know, we're guessing how long it's going to take. We're guessing like, you know, you have to like guess all this money in the budget and stuff. And then they can just turn around and say, no, we don't want to pay that. And you're like, oh, okay, cool. I guess we don't have money, you know, or whatever. Like, you know, clients for us like pop in and out. So you're just kind of like, oh, well, maybe we don't get paid this month or something like that. So, we've been very fortunate at Paravel, like always had a paycheck and stuff like that. And we like have like a little doomsday fund just in case like things go bad, you know, or the well dries up or whatever. And so like, we're just, and so it's been good, but like, you know, I think like that's the thing too. It just comes with all this accounting. You have to pitch work, you have to sell work, and you have to do the work, and you have to, you know, like if you're just working at a company, working at Atlassian, you probably don't care about how many Jiras you sell, you know? So you just get to work on a product or work
right
on a thing.
So your day is more split up, would you say? Like you do lots of different things in a way that maybe other people don't need to do?
Yeah, do different things. And then your taxes are kind of, you know, a deal because you have to kind of come up with, you know, hopefully all your accounting's in there, but you have to like, you you know, write off every little thing, write off your square footage, write off your, you know, like,
yeah,
kind of like all this stuff, you know, like how many miles you drove or whatever. Like, it's just all this extra stuff, you know, that's kind of not, you can, there's ways to make it a little bit easier, but it's just so much extra stuff.
And nobody probably finds that particularly fun, right? Like, there's a certain amount of stress to, well, I mean, you just talked about taxes, but what about the idea that literally nobody's going to write you a check next month if you don't do some form of hustle and convince a company through immense effort and shoulder rubbing and whatever you do to hire you again to do this X project? Like, you have to convince them, otherwise you don't get any money.
Yeah. And, you know, budgets change. I mean, we had, you know, we had a client project. It was like looking like it was going to happen, you know, and then like, as COVID hit, boom, like CEO is out. They are downsizing. Any sort of outsourcing is frozen, you know, and like we already had some hours invested into like researching and maybe bringing on like a React expert and stuff like that just for this like particular project. And it just like, boom, evaporated, you know? And it's just like, that stuff happens. That's business. Like, I'm not going to get upset about that, but like, you have to like, like when that happens, you're like, uh-oh, where does money? So
well, to me, that falls into this bucket of a unique stressor. And that the taxes are a unique stressor, and this budget weirdness is that are totally outside of your control is a stressor, and that those are two of many more that are all on you that are probably not when you're just like a dev at some shop, and you have some stressors too, but maybe probably fairly much less of them, and they're more predictable.
Yeah. And I think it produces some unique pressures in me and my brain, you know, in that like the hours I work are directly correlated to the quality of life, you know, like there's a direct correlation there, you know, like, so, you know, that that's
work too much risk and
And then, and even like, you know, like if I was like Mr. Time Tracking, I'm not, because to truth be told, we give our clients extra time all the time, and maybe that's like bad business practice or whatever, but like, you know, because happy clients, happy life, I guess, I don't know, but like you want to like help your clients succeed in any case, you know, you even as a person, you're like kind of going for the case study, so you want to help people do a good job, but you know, it's, you know, you're just kind of
working
like,
for the case study. I love it.
If you think about that, I mean, that's not always it. It's not like my goal in life, but like, wouldn't it be cool to have a story to sell or have that we could maybe then sell more work or find a similar client that we already have worked in this domain, you know? So,
yeah, right.
And then, yeah. And then like, you know, the nature of my client services means my job shifts. I mean, like I'm working on a next project, an 11 new project, I just spent a month like learning and making Chart.js work, like a whole, like charts are a whole other corner of the web. You know, like there's, you get into these skill pockets that are just wild, you know, like you have to kind of be nimble and adapt quickly, you know?
So. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Fascinating. Would you say at all to you, I think this is true for me, that while there's this heaping pile of additional kind of random, unpredictable stressors, that if I'm honest, there is also a removal of quite a few stressors that are problematic for me. One of them being like, I want to do X with this website, but the powers that be say no, or that's not a good use of your time, or whatever. That's so, that's a stressor for me. Or I'm like, but I want to. And now that I'm my own boss or whatever, I can have, I steer the ship on whatever I'm doing. I never face that. I can take criticism and I can have debates about whether things are a good idea, but my hands are at the wheel. And that to me is a stress reliever, that it's, you know, I think when I talk about, like, I wonder what'll happen to me later in life. Is there a world in which eventually I go work for somebody else or whatever? And Miranda laughs at me. She's like, you can't work for somebody else. Are you crazy?
I mean, Netlify, though. But
sure. I mean, throw me offers, though. I'm not saying.
the master of your own destiny, I think, is what we call it, you know, just that ability. Cause I have worked for a lousy boss, you know, and mm-hmm. it's not cool. It's not fun at all. So this like, hey, I can be my own boss is pretty cool. You know, I probably don't take advantage of it like smart freelancers do. You know, I don't like go skiing in the middle of the day or what, you know, or
we're old enough kids. Those days are over.
I sit down and work a lot. You know, I don't meet people for coffee and stuff like that. Or I have, but then I'm like thinking, oh man, I got to go back to work, you know? So anyway, that's, yeah.
I know this is, I wonder if our brains have, no question that pandemic has cracked them a little bit. So we'll see what happens when we start to heal a little bit. Like, well, mm-hmm. I hope I don't have those same kind of feelings, you know, because really I just worked through the damn thing. Just straight. Somebody had a funny tweet. What did I see? It's like, you ever just stare at your computer for an entire year? Yeah, I have.
I saw like this, this meme. It was like, oh, pandemic shutting down everyone's like hobbies and stuff. And then it was like, me and the boys on the Discord server, and, you know, it's like a gamers, you know, we're just like having high fives, like just cause like you just, I don't know, if your hobby is video games and your work is making websites, guess what? I was not impacted that much other than school closures.
So. Gamers be all like, let's go. And then sit in their chair for 6 hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's hilarious.
I loved it. I love, like, on Twitch, you know, there's like hype trains and like all that stuff. It's like, hype! And like they're just sitting there.
Yeah.
It's like
you're in your gamer chair, you know.
In your gamer chair, yelling hype. It's just full crickets.
I
you know?
Hope you're at least flexing your abdomen muscles, sir. Yeah.
I started doing this thing called the One Punch Man workout I found on YouTube.
I watched that anime. It's great.
Yeah. Okay. So you know how One Punch Man got his powers, right?
No, I don't remember now.
He did 100 sit-ups, 100 push-ups, 100 squats, and ran 10 kilometers every day.
Oh,
and that's how he got his power.
Oh, that's cool. He came by it honestly.
Well, he worked at it. And so there's a workout challenge where you do 100 squats, 100 sit-ups, 100 push-ups.
It's a little ambitious, especially the push-ups.
I can't do the running. I did the push-ups and broke my arms. So I had to take a break on the push-ups. But anyway, I was trying it for like a week. And now I don't do it, but I could get back.
Did you rock like 10 at a time, 10 times a day? Or did you just rock through it?
I just rock through it. I can do it. Like, I don't know. That stuff is not hard for me. So like just the... I got legs for days.
I'm like 100 squats, big deal. But not that I can do push-ups too, but 100, I'd have to take a lot of breaks.
That's hard to do.
Well, that's fun. So speaking of that, like, oh, I don't really get coffee anymore and my life is just work all the time and kind of stuff. We are, you know, I can't predict the future here, but all, you know, press and science and stuff is pointing towards a wrapping up of the pandemic, say by summer or whatever, meaning that it's not inconceivable that we're talking like an October conference. Yeah, we're going to see it happen, especially if it's not in the U.S., you know, then there's even more chance because aren't we the slowest and worst? I don't know who's behind us, but I think Europe's a little ahead, right?
Europe had a setback. So
With the new strain or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. I don't need. It's not that I don't follow. It's just there's some, what do you choose to follow on any given day? Because you can go hyper local with your following, and that's almost more relevant to day to day.
I think one of their vaccines got recalled, and so it's causing some issues. But anyway,
still October conference, you're going to see one. I promise, almost, you know.
Yeah.
And then some people are like, maybe I'll skip the first ones. Maybe I'll be first in line for the new ones, whatever. But it's going to be different in some way. So what do you think it's just going to be people just flooding in? Do you think there's just hunger in this industry to get back to those things? or not?
I don't know. I think so. I think humans crave connection, and that's not a thing that will change, you know? I do fantasize about the moment you're sitting in a big crowd of people and somebody sneezes. Like, mm-hmm. that moment will just be like, I don't know, somebody started a fire. I mean, it's just going to not be good.
Yeah. They're going to rock the, like, I think they're, because we're getting used to the elbow thing. They'll try to fight it. And it'll just, it's not going to be like a, achoo, and just, you know, that would be crazy if you heard that. I think people hit the deck, you know.
And you see, like, the particles just shooting.
Yeah, you can literally five rows see of the people. Sneeze. Yeah. Oh,
gosh. I just, like, that's like, nope.
Yeah. Because it doesn't, even if you shouted, I'm vaccinated after you did it, that doesn't mean your freaking sneeze particles are vaccinated. You know, they're still saying there's some chance that you can be a spreader. Maybe we'll have more science by then. But yeah, that's going to be tricky, isn't it?
That's going to be a thing. I hope it's, you know, I don't know. I hope it's all less youth groupy, I guess, like where everyone's like hugging and whatever, smooching on each other. We're just going to have drinks like adults from a distance away.
Hopefully the bar music is the handshake even dead? Do we
handshake? I think the handshake is dead. I think you.
That's fine. It's always a little awkward. Yeah. Fist bumps are cooler anyway.
Which it should be dead in anyways. Cause like conferences, how often do you get sick at a conference? Me 100% of the time, you know?
Right.
So like I get sick on the first day and then I'm shooting boogers on the second day. Like it's just, that's
right. Anyway.
So I don't know. I just hope it's more like, I don't know, more.
My thing is like how this relates to the stuff we've been talking about. Like we're so like you take 5 minutes off work and you're like, I should be working. That's not going to go away immediately. So the conference is like in your mind, are we all like, how can I budget that time in? That seems extravagant, you know,
right.
Let alone the money.
I've been working straight for the last 365 days. Like, now you're asking me to take 5 days off to like hop on an airplane, novel concept, to go to a place where other people are, novel concept.
Right.
And then like sit somewhere else that's not my house for 3 days. Good luck, Chuck. No, I don't know. It'll be different. It's just going to be different. So,
yeah, that's what I'm getting at. Like, I just don't know how yet or what, or like, if there's, do they rock? Like, let's say there's 100 people at one, which is kind of smallish, you know, for that'd be like a fairly local one, you know, then that's still a lot of people, especially inside. Do you rock the mask mandate in October still? Or do you, because you probably have to, otherwise you're going to get in this situation where it'll be, people will still be wearing masks in October for sure, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Like, then do you just go half mask? No way. That's too weird, you know? So you probably have to just rock the mandate.
Rock
and
the
then
mandate,
do you really, probably. I like, I don't, you know, it's not, I'll freaking wear a mask. Of course I do. Like, just like everybody else. But do I want to sit for 8 hours in a conference hall with my mask on? No, not really. I don't like masks that much.
Right. And is it doing much when you're like,
when you're inside like, anyway?
You're like elbows on top of somebody else's elbow, you know, like, so.
Yeah. And then you can't do the like, well, everybody gets a 6-foot table to themselves. I don't think the economics of that work out.
No. I wonder too, what, like, if there's been some progress, like moving online, you know, like, I think we think of the pandemic as only like a bad thing, but, and it is, it's a terrible thing. But like, you know, if you're like a working mom, you can attend a conference now. You don't have to put your kids in daycare for like 4 days, you know, a single mom or something like that. Like, that's like awesome. You know, I think there's been some cool, you know, changes and hopefully like we can keep that up.
So online conferences will stick around regardless. Like, even if the world is declared 100% safe, which it probably never will be, but whatever, that they'll still be online conferences. I mean, there was before too, but now they're like dialed in a little better. The tech is better. The expectations are set. We just learned a lot from that.
Yeah. Mm. So I hope they keep going, and I hope like all these event shops, you know, I'm thinking of like Beyond Telluran. I just had a DM from Mark.
He's Mark just rules.
The best, but nicest person in Germany, Mark Thiel. Anyways, like, I like really like, you know, that conference. And they've been doing some online kind of meetup sort of stuff, you know, like just to keep the community going, because it's all about the community. You know, I hope that places keep this stuff up. They've learned a lot of skills and invested a lot in these tech setups. I hope they like keep that avenue open as more for a more business, a conference plus option, you know, so that again, like there's audiences who want to attend conferences, but they're just either too busy or they like, you know, have a kid or a sick parent or some sort of situation where they can't go out just gallivanting around the country. So I hope that something sticks, but I also think about like Twitch, you know, like how many people have just said like, you know, I just get my dev stuff from Twitch now, you know, or something, you know, like has that changed? The number of dev channels, stream channels on over the last year has gone from like 8 to like 8,000. Like it's so many, like, I don't know that anyone's quantifying it, but I had a post written last year or something, a draft that's like, hey, 5 dev channels you might want to check out, you know? And it was literally like the 5 I could find almost, you know, it's like Seuss Hinton and a few others, but like, you know, but like now it's like,
I love it. My expectation is now that I can go find a video on like anything. And sometimes that's like the mode I'm in too. Like if I'm just eating lunch, but I'm like, oh, I got to deal with this new tech after lunch, I'll probably watch a video on it. And it'll probably be somebody who I have absolutely no idea who they are, which in the early days of web stuff that we were born in, I knew everybody.
I knew everybody.
Everybody.
I have, people are sharing old South by Southwest photos from 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I think you're in some of them.
Hell yeah.
It's like literally everybody is like in the one is in one bar.
Yeah.
So it's just wild. Everyone I knew back then, like from the internet, was in this.
Right. You write a blog post, you'll get 8 comments from 8 of 10 of those people. but yeah, it's kind of like that. No, but that's good. It's just bigger. And we've felt the growing pains of that too in our industry, in that now comment sections on tech posts are junk, you know, they've turned into just vitriol crap. I mean, I've just watched it happen over a decade and a half now on CSS Tricks. Went from like awesome positivity to like hype, like look at my blog too, to like it petering out because we have Twitter now, to now I'm only going to write something if I'm mad.
Wow. Yeah. It's a, like a complaint form. It's
not a, kind of is. Yeah.
Yeah. That's too bad. I'll try to add some positivity in some articles I read. So
yeah, I do try to do that too a little bit here. Let's do it. Let's end with some,
you're going to get 100 comments from me in one day because I read RSS, you know,
yeah,
I just
batch it up.
Yeah. I batch it up. So
oh, I love RSS. It's so good. Marcus Brenda writes in. We're going to do one question at the end because
we are a question and answer podcast.
That's right. What's the added benefit for using a service like Netlify, which is, you know, asterisk, a sometime sponsor, but this isn't a sponsored spot, and a CMS over hosting on AWS with just like an S3 bucket and CloudFront? I've been asked about a photography portfolio site, and on a cursory glance, I can't see the upside. So Marcus is like, why don't I just throw that crap in an S3 bucket? Like, why would I use Netlify when I already know how to do that?
It's not much different. Under the hood, yeah, you can build your own Netlify. Go ahead, go for it. The thing, I'm in a project right now doing AWS deploys instead of Netlify. The things I'm missing are like automatic CI. Like you can configure a CI, sure, but like Netlify is just like on it. It's like, hey, I got the thing. I'm going to run some tests. I'm going to build your project. I'm going to spit it out.
Yeah.
Boom. Branch deploys. You don't get branch deploys for free with AWS or Azure DevOps. Mm-hmm. They're expensive. Mm-hmm. And like you have to spin them up and then spin them down and stuff like that. And because they cost money when they're alive.
Whatever. You know? You're working by yourself. You don't care, right? You just look at it locally.
Yeah, look at it locally. But if you're working with the team or client in my situation and you're like, hey, look at this, like, or if you're doing a PR or somebody does a PR and is like, hey, check out this whatever weird thing I did, it would be so helpful for me to like just click through it in a PR just to make sure it works and check the console and, you know, like, like feel it rather than pulling that branch down, spinning up in my local development, wrecking my NPM, like then backing out or whatever. For me, the branch deploys and the
run your like build.
Built-in CI
yeah.
is so good.
Right. So that's two, right? And we're now, we don't have to just go over the Netlify feature list because that's, you can do that for yourself. But I almost look at it from the other perspective of, okay, what, how do you get your stuff to S3? Are you using like some CLI or something? Or do you write literal code to do it with like a, what's like rsync or something? I don't know. Or do you just like, you do it like FTP? Because all my little, everything I use lately that has like FTP also has S3 built into it too, which is just like a different thing and whatever. So you could, I guess you could manually do it, but like, is that real DevOps? That seems weird. And then you have to know what you're doing, right? Like if you have a Jekyll site and you run, you have to then run the build, then know that there's a special folder with all that stuff in it, and then move the contents of that folder to the S3 bucket. Okay, okay, fine. Then make sure that the permissions in the bucket are okay. But S3 is not really designed to, it can absolutely be a web host. It's just, it needs to be like configured with the right permissions to do so. And then it's not a CDN by default. That's why you're talking about putting CloudFront in front of it. That's fine. But that's like non-trivial to set up. And then like, what about all the cache busting and stuff? Like CloudFront is going to then CDNize your stuff, but then how do you bust the cache? Well, I guess you're going to have to make that part of your thing. Whereas like with Netlify, they just handle that for you. You know, you ship up a change to your CSS file. Well, then it's changed. They break the cache for you. You don't even have to think about it. But that, you're definitely going to have to think about that with your fancy AWS bucket kind of thing. And then like pricing wise, there's no like free version of S3, right? You sign up for S3 and you pay for what you use. Whereas on Netlify, if it's a little baby site, it literally is free. It's just free, free. Then you're like, it also, whatever your deploy thing you set up, you should probably set it up from your GitHub repository so that when you push to it, then it runs the deploy. Because otherwise, you're just not version controlling at all, and that just doesn't feel right in today's world. Like, you have to have it version controlled. So then are you writing your own, like a GitHub action or something, or do you use a CI service then to run your deploy script? And it's like, boy, you are freaking neck deep in technical debt now. You got a lot going on there with your AWS S3 bucket thing. And it's cool that you know how to do it, but like, even as an experienced developer, you're like, why would I ever bury myself in technical debt like that for more money?
Yeah.
And I can use this thing that we didn't even talk about their feature list, aside from branch deploys, which to me is cool, but like just one of many things they do. Of course you would use Netlify, like duh, you know, and they're not the only kids on the block. You know, there's other things, but like they've solved so many things that it's like going down a level would be like a questionable move.
Yeah, it's like I feel like, and I remember talking to Matt Billman like years ago in Germany about this, you know, and back then
at a conference.
I was at a conference. Oh,
there you go.
And I remember, and we were in a bar, and we were going to steal some, Vitaly's car and drive to Munich for Oktoberfest. It was not a good idea, but anyway, that's what was happening. But we were in a bar, you know, and back then, Netlify only did Hugo, you know, and I just was like, you know, sorry, man, I use Jekyll. Like I don't have the heart to switch to Hugo. But you know, lo and behold, they added Jekyll support or any static site generator. And I feel like Jekyll is very much like, or sorry, Netlify is very much like, hey, Dave, how do you build websites? And I'm like, oh, I do like static site generation a lot. They're like, great. We'll solve all the problems you have and give you all your feature list, you know? And like, so it suits me. And I was sort of, I'm not even an early adopter. I think I'm like number 20,000. I'm like their 20,000th customer or something.
Didn't they when they reached like a million devs or something?
Yeah. And so like, I'm not even in the top 1,000 or whatever, even though I was hanging out with Matt in a bar. But I just, you know, it's cool, but it was, I was not sold, but it is slowly I gave up all those like rsync little scripts I had and stuff like that, because I just was like, you know, this is just gonna take a load off my shoulders because all the DevOps is handled by them. And for a small team like us, that's great whenever we can use it.
Sure. So yeah. Experienced devs use Netlify. The question though, really, Dave, is what does Vitaly drive?
I think it's a BMW.
I knew it.
But driving a BMW in like Germany is like a driving a Honda Fit. I mean, it's just the same thing. So
I was going to peg him as a Ferrari guy. I'm sure it's nice, whatever it is. He seems like
it wouldn't surprise me if Vitaly also has a second house in like Milan, Italy, that has a Ferrari, you know, third house. Cause he's just lives wherever he wants. But anyway, Vitaly's an international man.
I'm a Toyota Tundra guy these days myself.
Ooh, looking good. Yeah. I'm a hand-me-down F-150. It's an old farm truck.
Yeah. Had a cowboy hat in the back seat when he got in.
That's good. Well, all right. Hey, that reminds me. I paid off my Volvo, feeling real good. I'm
that's a good car feeling. Payment. Was it a five? Now. Was it a 5 year?
Yeah, 5 year, man. Paid off. Oh, buddy, just free money now. And then gonna send my daughter to public school. Oh, free money, man. Just come. That's a pay raise. So here we go.
Ooh.
Looking for it. Yeah, looking forward to it. All right, let's wrap it up. Thank you, dear listener, for downloading this in your podcatcher of choice. Be sure to start our favorite up. That's how people find out about the show. Follow us on Twitter at ShopTalkShow for tens of tweets a month. Yeah. Hit us up on the Discord at patreon.com/ShopTalkShow for the Discord. Chris, you got anything else you'd like to say?
We call that scat singing, but country style. All right. Nursery rhyme style. ChopDocShow.com.